in very well. Thank you very much for our stewards welcoming us, and everybody sitting down and keeping their distance. Welcome to visitors who come from South Wales. I don't know where everybody else has come from, but it's good to see you. All the way from South Brent in the front here, a long way, after running a long time on the park run, I understand. It's certainly a great time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you always give us a warm welcome and that we can come just as we are, whether it's wide awake or fast asleep, whether it's really worried or very happy, tired or raring to go. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we are, we can come and you love us and you accept us. More than accept us, you bless us. Thank you. Amen. You know me, I get very excited about notices because it's a sign of life. And it's great to see that rather than, well, nothing's happening this week because we're not allowed to do anything, it's now just gradually opening up. So a couple of things just to remind you of. We have a meeting on a Thursday afternoon for ladies who are around during the day. 2:30. Something for ladies. And that's the whole idea. We don't know what God wants to do. And it's only when we come together that we will discern what the future is. There's been something happening for ladies on Thursday afternoon at 2:30 for a long time. And but there's a sense of which God wants to do something new. But there isn't a plan. It's a matter of listening to what God's plan is. So if you can come, if that's the time that you're around, if that yes, I'd like to be part of something that happens on a Thursday afternoon, specifically for ladies, then do come along and pray beforehand. Pray, ask God to show you who you're connecting with and what we might do to which those people would come. We're not doing something and then trying to find someone, some people to come. The other way around. We want to know what actually will work. What will be a blessing to the people we're already in touch with. So, any more questions about that? Either speak to me or speak to Betty here. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you. Thank you for the person, for Christine, who was on the register today, deputising for Hilary, who's one of our bringers. We need more stewards, people who can welcome people and bless people. Do have a word with Mark or ring him up afterwards because we can't all see each other after the service. So do try and think, yes, I could do that. I could record people coming in and give them a smile and write down complicated names and numbers. No, it's not too bad. But if that's you, that's great. But we'd also need bringers. As I mentioned last week, we want to be able to bring people who can't come to church under their own steam and who would welcome a lift, and we can't rely on just one or two people or one person as we are at the moment to do that. So if you think yes, that's something I could do, speak to a deacon or speak to myself, and that'd be great. We've had an interesting time preparing for Girls Brigade starting up again, and Angela, who's there she is, she arrived. Hi Angela. That was a wonderful entrance, Angela. Would you like to do that again? That was so Angela's in the doorway, full of life, as you can see. And Angela and Beth, Poppy, and a few volunteers are sort of an embryo team for Girls Brigade to start up again. And Angela would really like to start two groups. We can do that now in COVID ways and so on, and we're just going through the necessary preparations. But we need people. Somebody came forward just yesterday, who said yes, they'd like to help. But if you think, yes, I'd like to be part of a team that can be there, interested in what the girls are doing, but not having to lead the girls, that's Andrew's job and others. If you think, yes, I'd like to be part of it, so we've got the numbers we need for two different groups, but yes, I'd like to do that, then do have a word with Angela, if you have the opportunity now, but she's in the directory, Angela Brown, do give her a call, or again, speak to a deacon or myself. Something that you may not know, at 9:30, a small group come here to pray, before the service. And if you think, yes, I'd like to be praying at the beginning of the Sunday, do come along at 9:30. I'll put it in Keeping in Touch this week. But just to let you know, 9:30 on a Sunday morning, just a small group come and pray. It's a precious time in preparing what we do. And we're very much convicted that everything we do needs to be grounded in prayer. And Sheila, could you just come to the mic and just share experience of yesterday?
There was a small group of us yesterday morning praying for Mercy Church. And we just came together and we didn't know what we were going to do other than pray. But we didn't know how the Lord was going to use it. But I have to say, it was an absolute blessing to the prayers. And I know it was a blessing to the group that were up there. We had information on the programme, what they were doing, and that helped tremendously. But those of us that were praying, and we were praying in that corner down there, we felt a real part of what was going on. And yet, we didn't see anybody, if you like. But it was a great joy. And we were praying for the practical things. You know, they were having a video and we prayed about that. And then David came down halfway through, just before they started the crafts, and gave us information on just things that were happening. And we said, was the video all right? Did it work? Yes, it worked. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you know, we need prayers within our church, as Stephen has just said. But if you're free on a Saturday morning, this will be in September, just for an hour, and leave your shopping for an hour and come and pray for Messy Church. It's powerful. They need prayer. All our children's ministries need prayer. I would encourage you. I was blessed out of my socks, and I know Jean was as well, and another lady that was with us. We were blessed out of our socks. We felt part of what was going on. That is amazing. It just amazed me. So please come. You're missing a great blessing.
Thank you, Sheila. Isn't it good to have a bit of enthusiasm at this time of the morning? And that leads us into, actually, for Girls Brigade, picking up on what David and Rowena have said, you know, we don't want to do anything without prayer backup and prayer at the same time. Girls Brigade's going to be happening on Monday, sort of 6-ish, 6:15 to about 7:45 time. If you think, well, yeah, I could pray for Girls Brigade. Andrew's very good at keeping people informed as to what Girls Brigade are doing. I know a number of you have prayed when they've been away on camp. So if you think, yes, I'd like to be part of just a small prayer team praying at that time, when it starts, for the work of Girls Brigade, then do let Andrew know, or myself know, one of the deacons know. Because it's powerful, and it shows that we're trusting in the Lord to reach to these things. Finally, birthdays. We seem to have had a run of special birthdays. Birthdays for our church here, birthday for the whole church at Pentecost. We've got a family meal later on, which is great. So we're just going to celebrate at least two birthdays I know of today. June Bunce, who would love to be here, but isn't, but will be listening to this tomorrow whenever Ian has uploaded it onto the computer. She will hear this. So happy birthday to June. She would love to be here. June's daughter, granddaughter, and great-granddaughter are all here. So that's great. So the family are well represented. And also, it's Betty's birthday today. Now, Betty's wonderful at remembering everybody else's birthday. And some kind people did let me know it was Betty's birthday today. So bless you, Betty. Thank you for all the ringing round you've done, all the blessing you've done of other people through this lockdown time. It is so much appreciated. We wouldn't be where we are without Betty and June and all the others, you know, who are praying at home, making the phone calls, doing the thing to care for one another. So as we usually do, we've got June and Betty. Any other birthdays today? Nope. So it's June and Betty. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, June and Betty. Happy birthday to you. You will never ever again take for granted singing happy birthday, will you? So, welcome to the family of God, meeting in the Father's house of praise, prayer, and power. We're here to worship Jesus through the Holy Spirit of truth. We rejoice in the privilege of knowing and loving God, our Creator, Savior, and Lord. There are some wonderful opening lines here of Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of living water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? The answer is now. Today. David, who wrote that psalm, was longing to go to Jerusalem as he used to with the processions of worship and so on. But right here, now, today, we can meet with the living God. And it's not only here, but wherever we go, we can meet with him. Let's pray. Lord God, you know we are thirsty for you. Our souls thirst for you. As the deer pants for streams of water, so we pant for you. Lord, satisfy this thirst, we pray, with your presence here, now, today, and wherever we are listening to this service. Amen. We have a time of worship now, and after the songs, between the songs, feel free to speak out words of praise as God leads you. And as usual, feel free to sit or stand. There's banners around, front, back, up there. If that's helpful to worship, use the banners. Thank you, Claire. Lord, we are here to worship you. You are our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Father, that salvation is a free gift for those who will believe.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord Jesus, because it's an empty cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Standing in front of us.
Thank you, Lord.
You are risen.
Indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that in your kingdom, broken lives are made new, and you make us new. No matter whatever has gone on yesterday, the day before, years before, you can and do make us new. In your presence, our fears are washed away. Your perfect love casts out fear. Help us see your love so much bigger than our fears. Amen.
Amen.
This next song asks for the Lord's kingdom to come in us and in our land. Come set your rule and reign. Lord, this is what we want to see. We want to see the atmosphere changed, the nation changed, as your kingdom comes. We do pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things are through our God.
Thank you, Lord.
He brings light, and the light dwells in men, but the world does not comprehend it. We pray, Father, that the world does comprehend it.
Yes, sir.
Lord, that this Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is revealed in people's lives. We pray against a false trinity, this counterfeit trinity, Lord, of the world, me, myself, and I. That is a stumbling block, Lord. We pray for the Trinity, Lord, from the Father God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Amen. I'd encourage you to think of your street now, where you live. And this song, this decoration, this prayer, let's make it very specific. And in your heart, let's just pray for your street, your block of flats, where you live, that the kingdom of God may come right where you live. God's got big ears and he can hear all of us at the same time. Let's just name now. Let's do it out loud if you're happy to do that. The name of your street, the name of your town, so that God can hear your heart like his heart for where you live. So just name your street or your block of flats and the town where you live before the Lord now. Lord, I pray for Osney Avenue. You see every person in every house, in every flat, in every room of the streets we pray for. We ask that your spirit would be at work, that the name of Jesus would be honored and recognized, and the Father's love known in our street. Amen. So, now we have a really difficult job that I know most of you will really be delighted to partake in. In fact, I'm sure all of you will be. Blessing our children. So, children going out today. We're a bit dimming, are we, today? The microphones are playing up a bit. So we've got Taya and Paul. And we've got Connie and Sophia and Eva and Jesse who are with us today. And Lexi. She was hiding behind Janine there. Hi, Lexi. Good to see you. I know not all of you will be going upstairs, but we're going to bless you all anyway, because we love to bless our children. So let's pray. But stretch out a hand towards the children so they know that we all love them. Father, we thank you for our children. We bless every one of them that's here and is listening to this broadcast and the rest of the Fat Church family. And we pray particularly now those who are going to be with Angela and Josie and Abby, that they will meet with you in room one as much as they meet with you here. We pray they would understand something of this wonderful communion meal that we're going to be sharing later on today. Amen. Okay, go and go to it and have a good time. Is Angela still there? Yes, she's there. This is definitely pantomime, isn't it? It's the popping through the doors. Have a really good time, Sophia. Have a good time. And now we'll come to our Bible reading.
Right, the reading on page 1078, it's from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. The heading is, Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have they laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Okay, Andrew.
Hi, Anna.
Let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us life. Thank you for the word that we've just heard, and we thank you now for the word that you've given Andrew to share with us today. Open our hearts and minds to receive it, to believe it, and to obey it. Amen.
If you remember, the reading we've just had was the one that was used at the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral. And it was at that time I knew I had this service. And during that service, I had three questions that came to mind for this morning. Now, they're questions you've all heard before, but I'm just going to share them. And the first one is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? That reading, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Over the last year, we've seen lots of charity events taking place. But is doing and giving to charity enough for heaven? A lot of people would say yes. But as I see scripture, God knows your heart and where you are with Jesus. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast," as Ephesians 2:8-9. If we could earn heaven, why did Jesus come to earth, die for us, promise to come back for us? It means when we sing songs like "See His Love" and "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," they don't mean a lot if we can earn heaven ourselves. At work, a guy came to me and he said, "I'm probably going to become a Muslim. And I said, why? And he said, well, they say if you look after your parents and do lots of good works, you go to heaven. You see, people say, I believe in heaven. They don't want it through Jesus. We live in an age of comparison websites, don't we? Popular ones involve meerkats and an opera singer. I'm not going to advertise. You know, they say if you come to us, we'll get you the cheapest deal possible. And then other companies go on and say, we're not on those comparison sites. You need to come to us directly for your cheapest deal. Yesterday afternoon, I was talking to a neighbour who was begrudging how petrol prices were all rising and where the cheapest place to buy petrol was now locally. Everyone wants the cheapest thing possible. Everything's got to be cheap. Has Satan got people to believe in heaven, but going, you can do it a cheap way? We don't need to come to the cross. Have you accepted Jesus? You see, I don't know what's going to happen this week. When we watch the news, read the papers, there are car crashes, murders, house fire, accidents every day this week. The Bible says, I tell you this, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. We all say, oh, we'll see you next week, we'll see you here or there. And probably we're right, but you know, I don't know what's going to happen. As some of you know, I work over Heathfield, which is by Bobby Tracy. I've seen some near misses of going to and from work. There, but for the grace of God, it could be any one of us this week. If you know Jesus died for you and haven't accepted him, do it today. I don't know what's going to happen this week. In a moment, we're going to share communion. We remember Jesus who paid for our sins. A chorus from the Methodist hymn book says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You might have been coming to church since you were born. This might be your first time you've come to a cross. Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know Jesus? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When I was coming to church this morning, a thought got popped in my mind. I don't know where it came from. It says, you can be churchy without Jesus. It's so easy to come into church, go through a service, go out again, and actually miss out on the one thing we're here to offer people, Jesus. Do you know Jesus? The second question I had was, are you reconciled to believers? Are you in unity with all believers? It's easy to fall out. We're all different. We all have our different likes and dislikes. But are you being reconciled afterwards to each other? Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Or be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. Have you thought what would have happened on the day of Pentecost if Jesus had not been reconciled to Peter when he said, do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. If that hadn't taken place and Jesus reconciled, the day of Pentecost would have been different. But Jesus reconciled himself to Peter. We need to be reconciled to each other. And what about Acts 2, the day of Pentecost? They were all together when the Holy Spirit came. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at verses 42 to 7. And when you read that passage, you'll see the words they, or all the believers in that passage, with many being saved. Have you thought what would have happened if it had been a few people here, a few people there? It wouldn't have had the same impact, because they were all together as one body, one people. It made that impact. If you look round, we need each other. Stephen shared last week about believers together. You know, it's very easy, though, to start grumbling. Some of you are very outgoing. Some of us are very quiet. You know, it's very easy in our hearts to think if we're quiet. I do wish those outgoing people would quieten down a bit. But if you're outgoing, it's very easy to think, I do wish those quiet people would show a little bit more enthusiasm in worship. You see, it's very easy in our hearts to start grumbling about each other. We have to love one another for who we are. God's made us all different, which is wonderful, which means we all have different likes and dislikes. But we need to be reconciled to each other. And the last question is, are you living a life worthy of being a Christian? Is your life worthy of being a Christian, or are you a Sunday-only believer? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 verse 10. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. And Paul wrote, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And some other words that I was given, it's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. I'll say that again. It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. I've heard it said, Jesus better felt than telt. In other words, people are fed up with words. They want to see Jesus in us and the difference that he can make. Today, I don't know if you're like me, but when you watch the news and they have a politician comes on, your heart sinks because you know it's not going to go very well. But why is it politicians don't have this good bearing among the public? Is it because they just say words, but their actions don't tie in with what they say? All political parties, they say one thing, and then something else happens, and it's not word and action together. Paul wrote, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The text we have is holding out the word of life. We need to tell people about Jesus, but they need to see Jesus in us. Last week we had that hymn, Colours of Day. Tell the people of Jesus. Let his love show, words and actions together. In Matthew 24, it says, we will be persecuted if we are leading a Christian life. Perhaps not put in prison or put to death, but you might find yourself being ridiculed. I've been asked about, did dinosaurs go on the ark? How did all the animals get to the ark? The ark couldn't have held all the animals. It's not true. People love to make fun of the Bible, make fun of Christians. But 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to lead a godly life in Jesus will be persecuted. You've probably felt persecuted, down for your life, ridiculed, mocked for your belief. Yet, you know, I find sometimes when people have problems, the first person they come to is the Christian who they were mocking. That happened to me at work a few years ago. Someone pulled me aside because they didn't want to be seen telling me. They shared a problem they had. Could I pray for them? See, when the group mocks you, you don't know the impact it's having on that one or two people who are watching. And so, three questions that I want you to think about. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Are you living in unity and reconciled to all believers? And are you living a life worthy of being a Christian?
Thank you so much, Andrew. We're going to have a bit of a space now, a bit of time. Leslie's going to play. And Shirley, if you could let Andrew know we're at this point in the service. Just a bit of time to respond. Your response to those three questions. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Are you reconciled to all believers at unity with other Christians? And are you living a life worthy of being a Christian? That isn't living a life trying to impress God. It's because of his love, bearing his name honourably, truthfully, living a life worthy of being called Christian. And so no one's pointing the finger at anybody else. It's just a time for us to do business with God in these few minutes. Thank you. those questions all have in common is that there can be an element of forgiveness there. So let's just have just a time to pray. Jesus, we thank you that as we look at this cross, we remember that you went to the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we might be forgiven for everything. So Lord, where we have ignored you, we've not believed you, where we've mocked those who follow you, that have given their lives to you, we are sorry. I pray that you would forgive us. Where we've maintained a grudge against another Christian, where we've not let go of things against anybody that we should have let go of, forgive us. Help us by that same grace that forgives us to forgive others. And Lord, as we live day by day seeking to follow you, help us to be those who are quick to forgive and slow to take offense. Amen. Wonderful. I've got a few words to introduce what communion's about, but before I do that, I just want to find out from Angela, who's outside the doors again, I think. I just want to find. Is there anything that you want to share with us, Angela, for what the children are doing? Do come up to the. Do come, take your mask off and come up to the. To share what you've been doing.
We were talking about the communion service and what it means and what it is, and they've all been making little cups of wine and loaves of bread, and then doing dot to dots and colouring.
Excellent. So they got something to. To explain what it's meaning for them.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about why they had the Passover feast and why Jesus did it.
Right. So. That's a very comprehensive lesson by the sounds of it. Passover and communion at the same time. Thank you. Thank you, Angela. We heard last week that the word communion that we use to celebrate in the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, comes from the Greek word koinonia, which is the word the Bible uses for fellowship. It means sharing in, togetherness. The children have been sharing in this meal. They've been sharing in colouring activities, different things. We've been sharing in prayer, listening, worship. John writes, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So this meal is a celebration of the fellowship that we have with God and with each other through Jesus. This meal is for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, for those who are reconciled with other believers and who are committed to living a life worthy of being a Christian, a follower of Jesus. This is not for perfect people. This is not for people who've got it all sorted. But it's those who know Jesus, are committed to the body of Christ, to forgiving and loving one another, and wanting to live a life worthy of being called a follower of Jesus. God has made us worthy through his grace, and we trust in him. And this meal celebrates this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We've got a song now to take us into communion. How deep the Father's love for us. So, come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Paul tells us what he was told by Jesus about that first Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Let us give thanks for the bread and wine. Risen and ascended Lord Jesus, name above all names, perfect Lamb of God, we stand before you this morning as sinners. Each one of us brought your pain upon that cross when you bore our sins. We are all guilty of sinners, but Lord, for those that know you, we are forgiven sinners, and we thank you and we praise you for that. We thank you that you left the heavenly realms to live on earth, that you suffered temptation yourself like us, but unlike us, Lord, you were found without any sin in you, and hence you were able to be nailed upon that cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. We thank you that through your death and resurrection, Lord, we have hope and assurance of our place in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you in the bread. We are reminded that your body was broken for us, and in the wine, your blood was shed for us. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Amen.
Amen. So take this bread and eat, remembering that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. If you take the bread and eat that, and then hold on to the cups, and we'll drink together, representing our unity, once we're all able to do that together. And our children, ask your mum and dad, if you know Jesus and want to say thank you for what he's done for you, then take part in this meal. If not, wait for a time when you'll be able to. And mums and dads, it's your responsibility to chat with your children at this point. If you want them to have it, they can have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
have plenty of time, isn't it, to reflect and to be grateful. We've eaten the bread, as Mark reminded us, that it speaks of Jesus' body broken and his blood poured out, and is reflected in this wine's grape juice here we have. So let's drink together, reminding us of all that God has done. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we thank you and we praise you that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit light give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We finish with a sort of a gentle march. And children, feel free to move around a bit. You know, it's been a long time, it's a communion service, so don't feel tied down. Do grab a banner if you want to. It's far and near. We've been thinking about, just as we said, the Lord brought us from far away to near. And this final song just talks about the fact that the Lord is always reaching out, far and near. So this is something to send us out with a spring in our step. We're the ones who've got to carry on saying. They faded out, but we mustn't. We mustn't. So let's say the grace for one another as we go out, knowing it's always in grace that we do what the Lord calls us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.